All right. Our next speaker is Kristen from Carlsbad. Let's.
All right. I am Kristen, and I am an alcoholic. Whew, there's a lot of you. Okay. So, I want to start off by saying my sobriety date is 9/12/09. I have a sponsor. Her name's Laura H. And I know she has a sponsor who has a sponsor. And I have a home group. And I was told when I first got here that those are three things I had to get, and I did. And they haven't changed so far. Okay, so I'm just going to start out a little bit about what I was like. I think I'm just like any other alcoholic in the room, you know. I remember the first time I drank, I blacked out, and I drank like that until my very last drink. And I thought it was awesome at first, because I like causing chaos and wreckage and like, frankly, like, fucking shit up and not remembering it. You know? That's really, like, the ideal result, you know? But really, like, what else I got from alcohol was I was just able to numb out, you know? Once I put a drink of alcohol in my body, I could not stop. No matter what, no matter who told me or asked me or cried to me or screamed to me, please stop, please change your life, please be better, nothing ever worked. You know, and for a lot of years, there was a lot of outside issues in my life, and I thought those were my problems. And once I put those issues down, I went straight to alcohol, and that's what finally brought me in here, you know. And my last drink was on my 24th birthday, and I remember telling myself that I was going to stay at the bar until 11, and I had to work in the morning, and my boss had warned me that day, be good tonight, because they knew, you know. I'd been with that company for 4 years, and I was hanging on by a string, and they knew. And so I went to the bar, and I blacked out, and I woke up, and it was 7 o'clock the next morning, you know, and I don't remember how I got home, and I don't remember what happened, but I remember going into the bathroom that morning and looking at my face. And my face was black and blue, and my head was cracked open. And I don't know why that day, that injury, something changed, but that day something changed. You know, a lot worse things had happened. I had done a lot worse things to other people, but for some reason, I don't know if it had something to do with it being on my face, but something changed, and God intervened in my life that day, you know. And the only person I really knew who to ask was my dad for help, and that's because he's sober, and he got sober when I was 9, and I asked him, Dad, what do I do? What do I do? And he said, you need help. And so I went into a treatment facility, and I don't think that treatment is 100% necessary to get sober. It was for me. It was my journey, you know, and I went to this treatment facility, and there I learned a little bit about this program. You know, I heard a lot of BS, but I also heard a couple things that were like, huh, you know, like, how do they know? Like, how do they know how I feel, and how do they know the things that I do? And yeah, I don't know, like, I just came in real desperate, man, and I had no bad vibe about AA because it had given me my dad back. So I just came in, you know, really like a blank canvas and just really open, I guess. I don't know. Naive, maybe you'd call it. But for me, that's really worked out, you know. So what I did was I was given a suggestion at that treatment facility to go into a recovery home, and that's what I did. And I don't know how and I don't know why, but God has worked it out. God worked it out perfectly for me, you know. That day I got out of treatment, I went into that woman's recovery home. And I was scared, and I was nervous, and I still thought like I was going to go back to that old life at that point, you know, and I still had my job, and I just thought, you know, maybe I can, you know, live that old life but be sober. And something happened while in that treatment facility, like really early on, was I learned like I had to cut those ties with that life. And for me, like giving up that job was a really, really big step. And, you know, that's just kind of, it was something I needed to do, and I did it. And in that treatment, in that recovery home, I was taken to meetings, and in the meetings that I was taken to, I heard the message of Alcoholics Anonymous finally, and I heard, you know, get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor, you know, and I got a sponsor that was like down to take me through the steps that day, you know, and so that's what we did. We started out on this journey, you know, and I had a God coming into here. It wasn't the God that I have today, but it was a God that worked for me right then. And so I was able to take the third step and move to my fourth, you know, and I didn't really resist much. I wrote that fourth step, and there was a couple things I left out, and you know, I went on and I did the rest of the steps, and I thought I was good, and then I wasn't. And you know, that stuff that I had left off, it really found a way of finding its way back to haunt me. And I got really, really miserable at about 6 months sober, and still being in that recovery home, I thought it was everyone else around me. You know, all these 19 girls that I did not like, that I couldn't stand. I couldn't stand the way they sneezed or smiled or blinked or smelt or, you know, anything. And so what I did was I took the steps again, and I wrote down those things that I had left off on that fourth step. And through that, I really found a lot of freedom. And I finally felt like, you know, some people say they don't feel anything after taking the fourth step. But after writing this fourth step down, I felt a little, oh, thank you. Like, I didn't have to carry it around anymore, because it was some deep, dark shit that I never wanted to tell anyone. And yeah, man, like, I started making my amends right after that. And in this process, you know, I had gotten into a relationship. I'm a Turning Point girl, and I had started seeing somebody from Pathfinders, of course, you know, and that's just how we do. And I, you know, I've now learned that it was like AA love on campus. And you know, what's that saying? You go to a junkyard looking for a Cadillac, it's going to need a lot of work. And that was very true. It's very true. You guys haven't heard that? That's classic. Well, yeah, that didn't work, you know, and so throughout that period, you know, he went back to jail, I stayed sober, and in that period, like, I was really able to, because I've always needed men, I've always needed something to fill that deep, dark hole, and I use men a lot for that, and I have used men a lot for that, and, you know, at that point, I was finally able to fill God into that hole, you know, and that's something that I have to practice every single day. Is like, okay, I need God right now to fill that, because that's the only thing that's going to do it. And, you know, I got into another relationship and with a Pathfinder alumni, and set my game up, you know? I thought that, you know, this has more chance. But, you know, I don't know, man. Like, from being in that relationship, I was brought around a group of people that were doing this thing. That we're doing this thing not only just in the rooms, but outside. And, like, I didn't know about that. You know, I had moved out of this recovery home into that house, and I thought, these guys will keep me sober. This is what I need, you know? And I was really, really wrong. And I had to walk that talk. I couldn't just talk it, you know? And at about, like, 14 months sober, I moved out. I ran home to Daddy's because I didn't know what else to do. And at my dad's house, like, I stopped doing AA. I wasn't going to do AA in North County. It wasn't for me. These weren't my people. You know, I'd been accustomed to the AA down here. And I was going to drink. I was going to fucking drink. And I was going to drink or I was going to kill myself. And I had too much pride to drink at that point. And I don't know, man. Like, it just so happened that I moved back down to that house. And I started doing this thing, like, differently again, you know, and like focusing myself on like the core. Like I only had like 14, 15 months, but I was already resting on my laurels, you know, and yeah, that almost got me drunk. And, you know, luckily I've been able to maintain that connection with my higher power to where I haven't had a drink today, but I know it's right there, you know, like there's this old timer I know that says like, it's not when I'm going to drink, it's if, you know, or no, it's not if I'm going to drink, it's when I'm going to drink. And I got to keep that real close in mind, because I will drink. It's that easy. I could drive out of here tonight and go drink, you know, but I have to maintain that connection with my higher power to stand in that way of me and that drink. And, you know, I don't know, man, like I got a birthday coming up next month, and I was telling one of my roommates, like, I just want to stay real sick and real new, you know, like, I don't want to turn two. Like, I just feel like if I'm one, like, it's almost socially acceptable to be, like, really sick. You know what I mean? Like the more time I get, like, you have to get a little better, you know, or you have to go. And I just want to stay real sick. And I just want to, I really do. You know, but I don't know, man. Like, God has blessed me so, so much in the last, I want to say since January, you know, since I came back and started doing what the core, like, just the regular shit, meeting with my sponsor every single week, you know, going to my certain meetings and not missing them no matter what, you know. I had some sponsees throughout this whole little journey, and, you know, I never was able to sit down with them more than once and read, you know. So, and I was able to have this girl come into my life a couple months ago, about 3 months ago, and I don't know what happened, but I finally have been able to experience that miracle that happens with, like, taking somebody through the steps and watching their lives change and watching them grow and watching them become, like people and not, like, scared and shaky and shy and don't look you in the eye, you know? And I don't know. It's just been an amazing, amazing gift. And, like, I don't know what I would do, honestly, if I didn't have this program. I don't know where I would be. It's kind of scary to think about it because I was on that fast road down real fast, you know, man. Like, it got real ugly really fast for me. And I don't know if there's anyone here who's newer than me and hasn't taken the steps, I highly, highly suggest it. You know, something that was told to me that I really believe is, like, if you don't take these steps and find God, you're gonna die. And, like, I hold on to that, you know, and it's something that I'm told all the time. I don't want to die today. You know, that might change, but today, like I don't want to die, you know, and that's why I'm here, and that's when I get asked to do stuff like this, I do it. And I just want to thank Larry. I had told him I was, like, kind of copying a resentment. He hadn't asked me yet because he, like, asked everyone that I live with. So thank you so much, and that's all I have.